Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12 says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ." That's our goal. That's our job, right? It hasn't changed the past 2,000 years. The job that Christ centered around the church, what he's called us to do, is he gave the leaders of the church to equip saints for the work of the ministry. The confusing sometimes part about that is there's a lot of different kinds of ministry, right? The Bible, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, look, there are a lot of different varieties of ministry. There are a lot of different things, a lot of different activities, a lot of different things you can do. And so whenever we read this to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, a lot of times we sit back and go, well, I'm not supposed to be a preacher. I'm not a minister in that way, or I don't think I'm supposed to be a missionary or a prophet. What am I supposed to do? And we sit back and we think, well, there's not a ministry for me. But that's not the situation. That's not the case. God has a ministry for each and every one of us to spread the kingdom, and the purpose is to build up the body of Christ. But whenever we read this, we got to ask ourselves, what's the example of ministry, right? What are we supposed to do? What do we follow this kind of ministry? Well, I want to let you know, I believe and submit to you that ministry that we're supposed to operate in is the ministry of Jesus, right? Yeah. We, as a Christian church, we believe that we follow Jesus' example. He is the example that we follow. That's if he did it, we do it. If he said it, we say it. We love the way Jesus did, and we do what he called us to do. And in Matthew chapter 28, we see that whenever he gives a great commission. Every evangelical, Protestant, even Catholic, I mean, non-Protestant, which would be Catholic, but every church agrees in the Great Commission to go out and to preach the gospel to make disciples. But let's really look at what the Great Commission says in Matthew 28. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. Matthew 28, verses 19 and verse 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Then, here's what he says. We read that, and we forget about the next part of the work that he's telling the apostles to keep doing and keep spreading. He says, "Teaching them," who's them? All nations, everybody, right? "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." All right, let's do that fun church thing where you repeat after the preacher. Everybody say, all. Good, y'all sound great. I like that. "All that I have commanded you." And so whenever we see that Jesus is saying, look at what I did and teach it. The things that I, everything from the first time you met me to right now, watch me and teach everyone else to do what I do. The ministry of Jesus. That's including what Ephesians chapter 4 is talking about, the work of the ministry. So if we put the Great Commission and we put Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12 together, what Jesus is saying is, look, church leaders, you get the church, the saints, to do the work that Jesus did. It's pretty simple, right? That's it. That's our goal. That's our job. We come in here, we worship the Lord, we get encouraged and equipped to go out and to be Jesus to the world, to do the things that he did. So if Jesus is the example, though, and to do the things that he did, it doesn't take very long for us before we start thinking, there is no way I can do what Jesus did. Really? I mean, think about that for a second. Jesus spit on some dirt. This is my favorite miracle. I mean, this is good stuff. Jesus was so anointed, his spit even healed people. Anyway, and I tell the youth group all the time, it's a good thing y'all are a long way from me today. Because in youth, they're real close, and when I get to speaking, I'm spitting all over the place. I'm like, hey, Jesus spit healed people. You don't know what's going to come. So anyway, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud, rubbed it in a blind man's eye, and healed him. And whenever we start seeing things like him healing blind people, or him walking on the water, him walking into a grave and causing the dead man to get up and walk, that's whenever we start saying, I'm not sure I can do what Jesus did. And so we start to remove ourselves from the work that God called us to do as a church, because, well, Jesus did it, but I can't do that. Before long, we stop doing the work of Jesus and we become a religious organization with our own agenda. Come on, that was worth an amen. We become this group of people and we're done with the work of Jesus that we've been called to do for the past 2,000 years, and we have our own agenda and our own movement, and we're furthering that instead of what Jesus Christ called us to do. Amen?
Yeah,
repeat after me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, what we need to realize, though, is if Jesus did it, we can do it. But there's a faulty doctrine in the church that has made its way in, and it's caused church leaders to teach wrong. Not all church leaders, obviously not everybody teaches this, but there's a large group of churches that teach a certain doctrine that if we're going to get back to doing what we're supposed to do, then we're going to have to correct this faulty doctrine. And that is that Jesus performed his miracles and his signs and his wonders and everything he did on this earth other than coming to this earth as man, he did it as God. And if you come from a church that taught that, just stay with me for a little bit as we go deeper in this. But Jesus did not perform his miracles as God. He wasn't tempted as God. He was tempted as man, and he performed his miracles as man. But see, the issue with this is whenever we start teaching Jesus came down as man, but everything he did as God, well, it removes us. Well, of course I can't do what Jesus did. He did it as God. And so church leaders are teaching that, so the church is sitting back going, well, I can't do that, so I'm just going to be a good person. You know what I'm saying? Well, I can maybe get away with that, but God did God stuff, and I'm going to do human stuff. But what Jesus did, he came as the example to show us how to do what he did as a man. The sermon title for today, if you're taking notes, is Jesus, Son of Man. If we get to this idea that we can't do what Jesus did, then we really need to be honest with ourselves. And what we're saying is we don't really believe the words that Jesus spoke. Because if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 14. We're called to do all that Jesus did. Jesus himself said, you're going to do what I do. John chapter 14, verse 12. See, we got to get back to this church so that we can look like the glorious bride Jesus is coming back for. So that we can look like the church that God has on his heart. So we can be doing the job and the task that God has called us to do. All right, John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus opens up by saying, truly, truly. He's saying that what he's saying is, guys, really, I'm being serious here. This is really important. Like, I mean what I'm about to say. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Not only that, goes on to say, you will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Well, here's what we've done as a church. We teach Jesus the Savior. Therefore, we believe in Jesus the Savior. We believe Jesus the Messiah. Or we teach Jesus the Messiah, so we believe Jesus the Messiah. But what we have a hard time believing is Jesus the example. Therefore, we don't believe Jesus the example, and so we don't do what he's done. Yeah, he's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He saved me from hell, and I get to go to heaven. Praise God. Well, you believe that, and you operate in the blessings of that. But what we've got to believe, we've got to truly believe this scripture, if you believe in me, you will do what I do. What he's saying is believe in me as the example. Believe in me that you can do these things. You have not because you ask not. Our faith needs to be in the words of Jesus. We can do this thing together. Man, could you imagine a church doing the things that Jesus did? Our whole world would change. If everybody would say, look, I believe. And I'm going to start doing the things that Jesus did. Again, Matthew 28, he said, do everything that I've done. So the ministry of the 21st century, we're in the 21st century, right? I actually had to ask somebody this, which makes me seem kind of ignorant or just plumb dumb. But and plumb dumb is really dumb. 21st century, I'm right, yeah. 21st century, the job, the work of the 21st century Christian is the same as the first century Christian. It hasn't changed. Whenever Jesus said in Matthew 28, here's what I want you to do, teach everything that I commanded. We got to look through the gospel. Now, let's follow this little trail that I'm going. Ephesians says do the work of the ministry, right? Matthew 28 says, Jesus speaking to us, do what I did, the ministry of Jesus, right? And then now we got to look and see, well, what did he show them to do? What did he tell them? What did Jesus do? Because whenever we see Jesus doing or telling something to do, that's what we are supposed to mimic, right? Look what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. A lot of scripture for you today. Hopefully you like it because you're a Christian. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. We see Jesus telling the 12 apostles. He says, he gives them a few details. Here's what I'm commanding you to do. It wasn't a suggestion. He said, this is what you're about to go do. Go do these things. Now, this list that we're about to break into isn't all the ministry of Jesus. There's a lot more to the ministry of Jesus than this little thing. But this is some of the things he said to do. Tells the apostles, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. So Jesus isn't just doing this as a man, but he's saying, look, all of you men, you can do the same thing. Cleanse lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead. And here, these men saw Jesus embrace a disease, leper, that this stuff was contagious. He says, look, I can do it, you can do it too. And they go off, and they did, if you keep reading, they did these things. They healed the sick, they cleansed the leper, they cast out demons. This is the work of the ministry that the 21st century church is should still be equipping the saints to do. Which is, it can get scary, because we're like, oh man, how in the world are we going to teach people to raise the dead? Because I've never raised the dead. I've never seen it happen. These are the things that we're to do. This is the work of Jesus that we're called to pursue and to seek after and to long for. Jesus says, pursue the spiritual gifts. So it's not like we just have them. We got to pursue them and work towards these things. But here's the problem. Many church leaders aren't teaching that we can. Many church leaders are saying, no, that was 2,000 years ago. That's not for us today. I think one reason why the churches are saying that we can is because, for one, like I said, a lot of church leaders aren't operating in this ministry, so they're not teaching it. But I think a main reason that we're not teaching it is because deep down in their heart, they really just don't believe that it's possible. And whenever you don't believe something's possible, guess what? It's not. For those who believe, right? Nothing is impossible for those who believe. Okay, so this doctrine, this belief system, is that Jesus came to this earth as God. He came to this earth as man, but he did everything as God. Let me just say this. There is no scripture through Genesis to Revelation that says God came to this earth as God. There is no way that we can take scripture and twist it that God performed miracles as God. That you won't see that. In the New Testament, Old Testament, it's just not there. But what you will find, Jesus, the Son of Man, coming down and performing his work as man. Look, let me just get some scripture. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Are you with me today? Are you following where I'm going? All right, cool. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. I'm going to read out of the NLT. The way it words it is... I like it. It's easy to understand. But all the other versions say the exact same thing. All right. Philippians 2, 5 through 9 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God. Okay, so hear me out. Don't call me a heretic. Jesus is God. Jesus has always been God. And Jesus will always be God. Amen? He is God. He was with God in the beginning. Read John chapter 1. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things exist. Through him, we exist. He is eternal. Jesus isn't a created being in no way. He was God, and he is God, and forever will be God. But we cannot accept the fact that he operated as God on the earth. Okay? Look what it goes on to say. though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God then elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Here's the point. Jesus had to come as a man. It was the legality of what was taking place. For us to have the legal right to do what Jesus did, he had to do it as man. And so as we're talking about Jesus, Son of Man, that's the purpose, is so we can have the mindset of, I have the legal right to do the things Jesus did. Before we equip to do the work of the ministry, you've got to realize you have the right. Jesus paid the price for the legal position for you to walk in and say, Satan, I have the legal right here to have authority over you. Sickness, I have the legal right because the Son of God became a man and saying, paid the price for me to do what I'm about to do to you, Satan. We have the right. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus, here, so this passage in Philippians, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. But this passage in Philippians is just laying out, look, Jesus was God, but he left that glory. He left the privilege. This passage here is saying that Jesus could have, you know, he could have stayed in heaven, but he decided to leave his glory and his throne and come as a humble human being, as a slave, right? That's the state in which he came. All right, Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read several verses here. It's really good, and it lays down the legality of Jesus doing what he did. Verse 9. We're going to read down to verse 18. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. God in power, angels power, human power, right? The Bible says that Jesus became lower than the angels for a season. Crown him with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Here we go, verse 10. For it was fitting that he, being Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, or those who are sanctified, all have one source, which is the Spirit of God. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. Jesus came as man, and now not only calls us his creation or his servant, but he says, hey, brother. He identifies in a brother form. Okay, let's skip over to verse 14. Verse 14 says, since therefore the children are in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. So the only way the devil could be destroyed is for God to become man. It could become flesh and blood so that he may destroy the one who has the power of death. And verse 15, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to. Okay, let's do the whole repeat thing again. Had to. Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Okay, every respect. So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I have heard preachers from the pulpit say, when Jesus was in the wilderness in the 40 days and when he was tempted, you can't tempt God, therefore he wasn't really tempted. You can't tempt God. Obviously not biblical. The Bible says he suffered through the temptation, right? The Bible does say in James chapter 1 that God cannot be tempted. It's true. That's why God had become man. He went through the 40-day wilderness as man, was tempted as man and not as God. And whenever he said no to the temptation of sin, he was saying no as man. And he defeated the enemy in the wilderness as man and showed us the example how to do so. So whenever temptation comes your way, well, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. He was sinless. And so don't get all beat up and bent out of shape whenever you're tempted. Thank God. Just because temptation rises doesn't mean you sin against God. But when it does rise, Jesus had the outline how to defeat the enemy in that situation, which is with the word of God and through the Spirit. All right. Anyway, let's keep going. He was tempted as man. He was tempted. That's why he had to become man. He had to become man in order to defeat the enemy, in order to really get this concept or what's going on. I'm trying to be really like teaching right now. There's a lot of stuff that we need to get, okay? In order to get this concept, Jesus, Son of Man, why he had to become a man, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. Got to go all the way back to Genesis. You don't have to turn there. I think for the most part, we're all pretty familiar with the book of Genesis. Chapter 1, what do we see? God creating the earth and everything in it, the galaxies, all that stuff. Chapter 2, more specifically, the creation of mankind. In chapter 2, we see God giving Adam authority, right? He says, Adam, you have all dominion, you have all authority, you rule, you reign, you subdue, you go, and you have authority over the animal, everything, it's all yours. So this, what we have is God creating someone in his image who God has rule and reign, and now saying, I've created you in my image, you have rule and reign over this earth. So Adam was walking around in a pretty good little place of authority. I am the boss of this place. Animals, oh boy, I got a cat and a dog that I can't even keep in my yard. I mean, I want to kick that cat across the field. Get back in the, I don't know. Adam, though, I mean, dog, you go this far. Okay. Cat, you go this far. He had authority. He had all reign. Then chapter 3, a very tragic thing happened. The serpent comes in, the enemy, which is the devil, the serpent of old, Revelation says, the devil, comes in and tempts Eve, tempts Adam, and they fall. They fall from their level of authority, and they fall, they give it up. And at that point, who had the keys of death and hell, the grave? Who had the keys of authority on earth? Adam. Adam had the authority. But whenever he turned it over, he gave it to Satan. And now Satan had all authority and rule on the earth. You read scripture. That's why during the temptation, the devil could take Jesus on the high mountain and say, look, all this stuff, I'll give it to you. All this stuff is yours. You can have it. It's mine. The Bible says it's been given to me. Let me just say, God did not give Satan that authority. God didn't say, here, Satan, you have authority over all the kingdoms of the earth. Adam gave over that authority. And because one man, Adam, I thought about drawing this out on a whiteboard. But better judgment said no. But I am going to use some hand motions. So God, authority to Adam. Through the one man, Adam, who gave authority over to Satan, we lost that place of that position of authority and rule and dominion and gave it to Satan, right? But because it was handed over by a man, the legal process was for a man to take the authority back. If God said, all right, here, Satan, you can't have that, no. Hey, kids, hey, Adam, hey, Eve, don't do that again. Wouldn't have worked. But because God is a just God, he knows the plan, he knows what's going on, he knew that the only way for mankind to regain this position is if I send my son, as I send myself as a man. And that's why we read through the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Son of Man, right? He's going to come as the Son of David. And so through this offspring, that was the very first prophecy we see in chapter 3 of God saying, look, Eve, don't worry about it. I'm going to send someone through you. Your offspring is going to crush the head of the serpent, yet his heel is going to be bit. That's a picture of Jesus, but Jesus as the man. Now, get this. Jesus was birthed he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he didn't have that same generational curse of sin. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, but whenever he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary, in Mary's egg, Jesus, the Son of God, God Almighty, the King of glory, right, he had to grow in an egg, and he had to develop because he was a man. And he was birthed like a human being. He had to be raised and looked after as a human being. He had to be, his diaper had to be changed. Imagine God leaving that glory and submitting himself as mankind, even just to his mom and dad, is something to, it's just amazing to think about. And I hope we can see this big picture of why he had to do it. Last verse I want to read to you is found in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just two verses here, two or three verses. Again, it says basically what I just said. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 through 22. Says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Praise God. Then it says, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21. For as by a man came death, who is that man? Adam. By a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. So this is that, boy, this is that paperwork that the lawyer gives you, says, look, they break this, they're breaking the law. This is the outline of now we have life through the man Jesus. Look, this doctrine, and not, like theology and doctrine is not a bad, scary term, but this truth of the gospel is the foundation of the gospel. The foundation of Christianity is that God left his dwelling and became man. So whenever we start teaching opposite of that, that, oh, he came as man, but well, he healed this blind as God, or he walked on water, not as God. He walked on water as man. He performed that. What's harder, walking on water that we see him do in the Gospels, or we see a man named Philip who was a human being who just through the power of the Holy Spirit was like transported from this area to another area? What's harder to believe? They're both pretty unbelievable. But they were both accomplished by a man through the anointing. Here's where people miss it. Through the anointing. He did do it by the power of God, but not just himself. He did it by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if he needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Son of Man. I wish I came up with this quote. I didn't. I think maybe Bill Johnson did some, but anyway, it's good. I'm going to read it to you. The Son of God became a son of man so that the sons of men can become sons of God. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The Son of God became son of man so that the sons of men can become sons of God. It was that legal transaction. And we've got to understand this doctrine or this, whatever you want to call it, this truth. We've got to understand this before we try to go off and do what Jesus did. Because without this truth, it's impossible. It's impossible to do what Jesus said to do without this truth. We all know the story of the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized in water, I just taught this to our LA students. And it was neat just watching like the light bulbs go off. Whenever we ask ourselves, how did Jesus do this? The power of the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure I understand. Whenever Jesus was baptized in water, let's look back at Sunday school lessons that we learned, okay? He was baptized in water, what happened? He came up out of the water. The heavens were rend open, the Bible says. The heavens were open. The Holy Spirit came down and descended upon him like a dove, the Bible says. And then in Matthew, I think it's chapter 3 and Luke chapter 4, we can read about this, and we see how he was filled with the Spirit. Luke chapter 4 says he was full of the Spirit after this. So the Spirit came on him, descended upon him, baptized him, which just means covered, filled him, all right? So the Spirit was filled him. After he was filled with the Spirit, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit. So once he was filled with the Spirit, he was able to be led by the Spirit. And when he was led by the Spirit, in Luke chapter 4, he was obedient, and he went. And after being obedient to the leading of the Spirit, the Bible says when he returned from his 40-day fast, he returned in what? The power of the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want to submit to you. every one of us, in order to do the things Jesus did as the Son of Man, as we are adopted as sons of God, we must be filled with the Spirit, full of, the Bible says continually through the New Testament, to be full with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, be full of the Spirit. We must be full of the Spirit as Jesus was full of the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. And as we're led by the Spirit, we've got to be obedient to the Spirit. And when we walk in the obedience of the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you are privileged to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus walked in. Daniel chapter 7, there's a prophecy. I'm going to, I guess I'll go ahead and end with this, because we got something else I want to do, or that we want to do. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, there's a prophecy given about Jesus. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Prophecy of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of David, coming down and doing what he did as man. God elevated him, the Bible says. He conquered death. He won back the authority. The verses that we read earlier this morning in Hebrews and Corinthians, Philippians, he took the authority from the devil who had the authority, and now he gave the authority over to who? His people. He told Peter, I give you the keys, right, to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth. All of that, everything said today, tie it back into this point that we've got to apply to our life and to our thinking. We can do what Jesus did because he did it as an anointed man. All we need is the anointed part. And we can operate the same way that Jesus did. And we're about to start talking very in depth the next several weeks and really for the rest of our lives here at CMC on being equipped to do the things that Jesus did. But first we got to know that we can do them. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.